right. Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our gathering. God, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for teaching us, God, your truths. God, thank you for giving us your word. We just pray now, God, that your glory would descend and manifest your name among us. God, that you would send your spirit to, God, guide your truths into our hearts, that we would hunger for them, and God, that we would eat them and digest them, God, and be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I was thinking, this has been on my heart for some time, and so we're beginning our series. It'll be a little bit of a popcorn as we are also trying to get more guests, speakers to come and give us a fresh word in the new year as well. And so we'll, as I preach, as others come, you'll see this is a constant kind of a theme in our conversation or in our teaching. And what we're going to teach on is biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom. It's a tough topic, actually. And I think many of us have some sense of what wisdom is. And I think to be wise, we have kind of a picture, you know, with the guy with the beard. I don't know. I've never seen so many people with so many beards nowadays. You know, it's like a thing. You know, my nephew has a beard. It's like 10 times the size of any beard that I could have. And it seems to be a thing. But I think there's just something about wisdom that we kind of sense when it's true. We get a sense of what it is, you know, when people have it. But we want to dive into it. And I just want us to just kind of be open to what the word has to say afresh about what biblical wisdom is. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." I go to the airport a lot, or I did more than probably many of you, because I had my second daughter used to go to college in Texas, so she would have to fly there quite often. So there was a lot of dropping off and picking up and so forth. It was one winter, I think it was like after Thanksgiving break or something, we took her to the airport. And I don't know if in this area, you just make some assumptions. And I thought that Ellen knew, you know, the right airport. And I thought that, you know, this was the airport. And so we went to Dulles, you know, battling snow, actually. And then we just were proud. We were there on time. You know, it's a busy time of the season. It's crowded. And we get to the airport. She goes in. And then we get a phone call on our way home. I'm at the wrong airport. So she didn't know. Ellen didn't know. I think it helps when you're at the right airport, doesn't it? I don't know if any of you made that mistake. As I look around, it's like, oh, you're kind of dumb. You know, but it's like a thing. I would say when it comes to the destination, though, I've actually arrived at the wrong airport picking somebody up, only to find out, oh my gosh, you know, you're at the wrong airport. Oh, and of course, you know, of course I never speed going to the right airports. But actually, I don't know if many of you gotten on the wrong bus. Like if you visit Korea, there's a great chance you might get on the wrong bus. And I've gotten on the wrong bus. The challenge on getting on the wrong bus is the decision whether you go back to the original bus station or you try to wing it and try to catch the right bus to make up for it, right? But it helps to start out in the right place. And it also helps to know, right, the destination you're going. I mean, I think we all have a sense, okay, well, this is where I want to land. Wisdom is knowing which bus to get on, okay? Wisdom is is the how do I get, right? And scripture, and this is not the only place, there's in many different places, fear of the Lord is definitely the beginning of where all that journey begins. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. In the sense, where we want to go, where we want to land, is that we know God. That's where we want to land. Like, I know God. Like, I'm a friend of God. I talk to God, and God talks to me. That's where we want to land. And that's what we want to boast about. In this life, like, everything is fleeting. But the knowledge of the Lord is eternal. So we begin with the fear of the Lord. So let's define it, but let's define it the way Scripture defines it. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So fear of the Lord is like, oh my gosh, because when I talk to people, sometimes we have a view of God, and it's like, I'm not, you know, immune to this either. We almost feel like, oh, you know, like I'm not walking faithfully with God. I know that maybe I could be doing better. So I'm like waiting for the shoe to drop, the other shoe to drop. You ever hear that phrase? I'm waiting for God to give me the boom, right? And interrupt my life and in a sense, punish me. Well, that's not the fear. The fear of the Lord is this sense of awe. This sense of like, wow, God, you are amazing. You know, it's this beauty, it's this grandness of God and the bigness of God. And you're like, wow. And that is a manifestation of God. And so we also have to admit that we don't get to control all of God. Because I've really gotten into this thing where I want to go to all of the national parks. Like I love being in awe. It's like the closest thing, I think, you know, at least visually, what all it's like a pointer to what all can be. Because we use that word, like, oh man, that's so awesome. That pizza was awesome. I'm like, okay, you know, like, you know, it was good, you know. But we use that word and we rob it of this sense of amazing wonder. But the fear of the Lord is this idea of like awe. It's like, God. Like, I'm having problems, but man, you're bigger than this. I'm stuck, but God, it's just like, but this is that journey, because life is full of obstacles, isn't it? Life is full of challenges, and there are, we have emotions, and here's the thing. I used to fly, right? And you know, when you're an aviator, and, you know, I'm what they call an instrument-rated aviator, right? So that means I fly not by sight, but I can also fly by instruments, right? So when you're in the clouds, when you're in the clouds, you cannot trust your senses because they will lie to you and they will cause you to crash. When you're spiraling down uncontrollably, you don't know. When you're flying by sight, like you'll think you're flying straight and level, but you're spiraling uncontrollably. You have to look at your instruments. And you have to be trained not to trust your judgment, but trust the instruments. That's hard. Because actually, the first thing I think about when I hear about an airplane crash, especially like when it's like a private airplane and things like that, I ask, are they instrument rated? Like John F. Kennedy Jr. was not instrument rated. He was flying by sight because he wasn't trained yet or certified in instruments, and he crashed. In a fog, going to the Martha's Vineyard, and recently I just found out a SBC leader who crashed and died recently. He was new to instrument flying. I mean, what I'm saying is, that's wisdom. Like I feel that my problem is the biggest thing in the world, and there's really no help, and so we want to just kind of move on. But that's not God. Awe is like, God, man, you're big. You're huge. And here's the thing. And he's for you. And he loves us. And he cares so much. And he wants us to give us wisdom. And so the fear of the Lord is like, man, I serve a big God. My Father is humongous and great and amazing, and he loves me more than I could ever imagine. That's where it all begins. And then the how is the tough part, isn't it? How is like, well, do you have to read your Bible? Do you pray? How do you pray? I mean, like prayer. Like, you know, it's like just thinking about prayer. Like I'm reading on prayer, and it's just so much, you know? Pray on your knees. Some people pray standing up. Koreans call it 통성기도, which is praying out loud together. Pray early in the morning, you know? Pray online. Does that work? Pray in person. Corporate prayer, individual prayer, you know? How do you pray without ceasing, you know? How do you go into your prayer closet? What's that secret place look like? I mean, it's like, but that's wisdom, isn't it? Trying to figure out how that's going to work. How do you read your word? How do you study it, right? How do you do devotions with your word? How do you pray through your word? Isn't it? There's a lot here, isn't there? Wisdom is figuring it out. Wisdom is like, that's like, you know, it's like, no, that's hard, isn't it? Life is hard. But wisdom, if you want wisdom, like, oh, I'm like estranged from my family. Unwise. Unwise. I don't, you know, it's like, you know, I try to not think about this, or unwise. The greatest commandment, the end, is to love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if we don't, wisdom helps us to get to that end goal. Wisdom helps us to know God. Not know about God, but know God experientially. But if we're like, it's just so hard to do this, you're unwise. That's what it is. And I'm unwise. I want to be wise. And here's the thing. It begins with wanting to be wise. Now, there's the fear of the Lord, and there's this thing called the fear of man. Isn't there? And we sure do have that. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Now that is counterintuitive, because fear of man is, you're always kind of worried about what the other person's going to think. You know, it could be at work. It could even be in the church. You're constantly comparing yourself, you know? And to be, you know, to be honest, you know, I struggle with wanting to have people like you. You know, I probably, if you're a leader, that's probably one of the most important thing to be wise about is the fear of man. You can go in the extreme and say, you know, like, forget that. You know, I don't care about anybody's opinion. You meet people like that. You know, why would you do that? Of course, you have to care about what people think, but then you care about what people think, and it's like causing you to make decisions. It's causing you to like choose how you raise your children. And then you're like, your child is so busy, they don't even have time for God. Unwise. Unwise, isn't it? Unwise. Fear of man leads probably to very unwise lives. You know, you're not very involved, you're just so busy. You're so busy. You're getting rid of all the margins of your life. You ever read a book that doesn't have any margins? You can't. Did you know about a third of the book should be empty space? Because if it's like completely filled up, you don't even want to read it. But yet, that's our lives. And sadly, sometimes it's our children's lives, isn't it? Right? And all because of the fear of man, I would say. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. We look for security and safety, but we don't look for it in the Lord, you know? And we don't teach our children that safety is in trusting the Lord. Jeremiah 9:24, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Doesn't that go contrary to the fear of man? We're boasting not in ourselves, not that people like us, not that people admire us, but that we know God, that I'm a friend of God. You know, and just one of the addictions, to be honest, of work, even of ministry, is this idea that my identity or worth is in my effectiveness in any of these areas. At the end of the day, you don't become a friend of God because of what you do. You become a friend of God because you know God through these very difficult circumstances. You cannot know God and be unwise. Wisdom is how to find God. It says, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. You know, God delights in these things. God delights in us. When we trust that he is loyal to us, that he is just. You ever feel envy? You ever feel envy? It's hard not to feel envy in this area. In this, you know. Envy is thinking God is holding out on you, that other people have it better. We trust our senses more than we think we do. We labor not to, we almost raise our children so they don't have to envy or to struggle with envy. It's difficult. But steadfast love is knowing through and through. And this takes time, actually. We think, it's not like, oh, I was just so blessed by the Lord, I don't struggle with steadfast love, or I don't struggle with envy. No, we do. And it's a constant feeling. It's a constant, you know, you just have to know, man, I am deeply loved by God. That alone is more than enough. That's all it takes. But instead of discovering steadfast love, to know God in his steadfast love, we try to measure up. We try to measure up. And here's the thing. It's so easy to try to do that, isn't it? Unwise. Unwise to live like that. Justice. We love revenge movies, don't we? I know. I struggle not to watch. Like, oh, get him. Get him, you know? Try to get my kids to watch them. And I was like, vengeance is mine, you know? I was like, you know? And, you know, it's hard to read verses like, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You know, it's like, you just want to get them, you know? Like, you hurt me, I'm going to get you. Did you know that in relationships, it's the getting back. When you've been hurt in a relationship, how you respond to that is how you connect deeply. Because we're wired to counterattack all hurt. There are two ways that people counterattack. There are those who go silent. Like they go, all right, I'm not going to talk to you. You hurt me, so I'm not going to talk to you. I don't know. And then there are people, when you get hurt, oh, you say mean things. Now, I am a counterattacker. Okay? And Ellen is none of those things. No, I'm just kidding. We are growing in these things. Let me put it that way. But when you're hurt, I don't know, what are you like? Do you like, when you get hurt, do you like, or do you withdraw? Withdrawing is like taking oxygen out of the room. It hurts people, actually, when you go silent, right? And but it also, you know, you badger, you know, you get attacked and you just won't stop coming at you. Unwise, if you don't recognize these things. Unwise. Now, how do you work through that? Well, you ask God. Right? You have to understand that God knows your pain. And vengeance isn't yours. Do you see how wisdom works? Right? It's the recognizing that when you're hurt or deeply offended, that there is a God that you need to fear. That he is in control. And he has prescriptions. And he delights when you recognize that. And this is eternal life. I love this verse. That they know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And here's the thing. Think about wisdom is what you learn here in this life. The wisdom that you gain is eternal. It's eternal. I don't know how to overcome envy. Eternal. I don't know how to deal with, you know, mean words coming at me. Eternal. I know how to do that. Like, I don't know how to forgive this. Eternal. Eternal. I know how to do that humbly. Eternal. I know how to love through, to pray for my enemies. Eternal. Eternal. And let's talk about practicalities here, right? First, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Here's the good news. We don't have to struggle with lust, okay, in eternity. You don't have to struggle with envy. You know, you don't have to struggle with a lot of these things that we're experiencing now. So clearly, they serve a purpose, don't they? Right? They serve a purpose. And like, they all train us, don't they? It's just that when you go with it, though, isn't it? It's so easy to go with it. We're so worldly. I know I am, right? All under the guise of security, though, by the way. But there's a point when you love the world too much. You know why? How do you know you're crossing a line? Because when our love for the gifts outpaces our love for God, when we don't have time for the lover, right? The one and only, but we only have time for the things that he offers. You know, we're crossing a line, aren't we? Unwise, unwise, unwise. I'm so spent. I'm so tapped out in my spending, I can't give to the church. My offering is not generous. Unwise. Unwise. Unwise to die like that. Unwise. So here's another practical advice. Pray. Pray then like this, right? Jesus, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Because prayer is not easy. It takes wisdom. Because prayer is connecting with God, isn't it? Right? It is to fundamentally submit ourselves to the Lord. It says, our Father in heaven, and here's the, I love this, hallowed be your name. Now, it's easy to say, oh, hallowed be your name. Just say it. But you know what the names of God, we just actually, steadfast love is a name. Hesed is a name of God. God's name is mercy. His name is almighty. These are names, and we want to proclaim it. We want to praise it. We want to have the bigness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. We want to have that proclaimed out of our mouths. We want to pray that. We want to focus on that. You know why? Because we think, oh, we already know that. We don't have to express it. Oh, why didn't God think of that? We need to. Wisdom. Wisdom. We need to adore God. We need to proclaim God. Jesus says, this is how you actually begin to pray. Hallow. His name. Don't be so, it's such a hurry in prayer. Don't be so in a hurry in praise that you skip the adoration of the names of God. And then the your will be done. You know what's wise? Sometimes there are things in my life that's not on the table. Thy will be done except these things. It's subconscious, isn't it? Well, as long as my children XYZ, you know? Like there are things that we don't put on the table for God. It's almost like we don't trust you, God. And I'm just like, God, I trust you. Here's everything. Wherever you send me, whatever you say to me, however you want to humble me, God, humble me. Matter of fact, God, help me to be humble. God, help me in this area. I think I'm saying stupid things. Help me in this area, you know? I want to change, God. I don't want to, you know, just everything on the table. Isn't that what, it's like so freeing, actually. Wisdom, wisdom. Laying everything on the table is wise. For the Lord is great, is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. wisdom. We recognize he's an amazing God. What does it say? He's so great. He's so amazing. Let's get on our knees and say that. Let's worship and say that. Let's bow down and say that. Let's proclaim that. Because the person that needs to hear that the most is not God. It's us. It's us. We need it. It's so wise to proclaim it. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. You know, sometimes we make it so complicated. You know, God is just. He's lovely. He's loving and he's kind. You know what he says? You do that. Just do it. Just love. Just do justice. You know what I mean? Do love. Do kindness. Walk humbly. Sometimes just, I love the Nike commercial, just do it. Right? Just do it. You know? Like, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with what? Yeah. First step, isn't it? One step. Proverbs 2:9 says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. The thing about it is, when our goal is God himself, when our desire is for the one and only, and we say, God, how do I do this? How do I get over this obstacle? How do I get over that obstacle in my journey towards loving you and being loved by you and loving others? How do I overcome these obstacles? Because what do these obstacles do? They create distance, don't they? They create disunity. They create this chasm that seems unovercomable. It's called wisdom. God loves to give it to us. And if we just ask for it, he will. He will humble us. And then you're going to understand God better. You're going to be closer. Because it says wisdom will come into your heart. You just know it. It's painful, to be honest. It's painful. In every season of my life, even now, right? God, what is it that you're saying to me? How can I humble myself? Right? And he'll say things that are not pleasant, actually. That takes you into the background more. And you know what the thing is? But he just loves you. He loves us in these silent periods where we feel maybe not as worthwhile, okay, in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. Oh, precious, priceless. Isn't that what we're after? The fear of the Lord, not the fear of man, right? We don't have to fear what other people are thinking. But the only way to overcome that, the beginning of all life and all journey, is the fear of the Lord. Be in awe of him. Adore him. Let's praise him. Let's spend the time just bowing down, being on our knees to say, God, you're an amazing God. Thank you for loving me so much. Okay? All right, let's pray. Oh, God. God, we want to be so close to you, God. We want to honor you. We want to worship you. God, would you help us, God, to be in all of you? We need your glory to fall in this place. God, we need your help as we read your word. We need you as we pray. God, we need the Holy Spirit as we praise. So would you come, Lord, and be enthroned in the praises of your people? And minister to us. Lord, I speak now together, God, with our church. We seek your wisdom because you are the giver of wisdom, the how-to, the empowerment. God, you are the one and only. So help us now to begin our journey in the new year to overcome all obstacles, especially the relational ones. Help us to love. Help us to forgive. Help us to humble ourselves. God, help us to draw near to you. Help us to draw near to one another. In the name of Jesus Christ.